The story that we heard this morning of Abraham's willingness to obey God and sacrifice his son Isaac is one of the most memorable events in Genesis. It's brilliantly written, but far beyond its literary merits are the deep theological truths that it contains. The only event that surpasses it is the one to which it points, the story of the Christ who died for us. We're told in verse 1 that God tested Abraham. But at the time, Abraham didn't realize this. It was the same with Job. Neither Job nor his comforters knew that their sufferings were a special test of their faith in God. Though at the height of all his difficulties, Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." We may never in this life understand why our problems and our sufferings happen, but we should consider that they may be a test of our faith. The call to sacrifice Isaac was not some sudden impulse which Abraham thought had come from God. God never incites people to do wrong. That's the method of the evil one. It is Satan who tempts us to sin. God tests us for our good and for his glory. But we are sometimes tested. James in his letter said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." But what a hard command Abraham receives from God. "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the mountain of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Abraham was being asked to give up his pride and joy. This was contrary to everything that God had previously said. This was the son on whom all the covenant promises regarding Abraham's descendants rested. Isaac was the son of promise. This is the son who was born to Sarah when she was far beyond the childbearing age. Here is a miraculous birth. And we know in due course of time, Mary, the mother of Jesus, will experience another miraculous birth. How remarkable was it that Abraham obeyed so readily? Early the next morning, he sets off with Isaac, two servants, a donkey, fire, and a knife, and enough wood for the sacrificial fire. After 3 days, they come to the mountain which God had indicated. Abraham sends to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Faith. He's going to worship by offering Isaac on the altar. Even though he believed God concerning his son, he was prepared to commit his son to him. At the same time, He expected that they would both come down the mountain and meet up again with the servants. Listen to the writer to the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned." The last stage of that journey must have been the hardest. Imagine the old man with the fire and the knife in his hands, and this young son carrying the wood, making their way silently up the mountain. Eventually, Isaac breaks the silence with a question that must have pierced his father's heart. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" How was Abraham to answer that one? He does so with a statement of faith. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. We're reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples in Mark chapter 13. "Do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." What can be in the mind of both Abraham and Isaac when he then binds the boy with rope and places him on top of the wood? I think that this young man could have struggled with his elderly father and run away, but he doesn't. Here is trust and faith as strong as his father's. At the crucial moment, God intervenes. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have withheld from me your son, your only son." You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham has passed the test. Like Job, he was a man who feared God. The testing experience proved that his faith was genuine, living, and active. Abraham's obedience indicated that he was in the right position before God. Again, when James writes about this, he says, "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete in what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." And he was called God's friend. This unique experience not only tested his faith, but also informed his faith. For the last time, and in a unique way, the promises first made with Abraham when Abraham left Haran are now confirmed. It is, God says, that because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, and because you have obeyed my voice, that the promises are renewed. Here, divine grace and human responsibility have come together. The same was true when the Son of God came into the world. Mary and Joseph were obedient servants of God, through whom the great promise was finally and completely fulfilled. God condescends to reach down to Abraham's level by giving him an oath to fulfill his promise. He says, "I swear by myself," this is God speaking, "I swear by myself, because you have done this, I will surely bless your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." All nations, every nation on earth is blessed by Abraham's faith. This blessing looks beyond the current events at the victorious time when Jesus, God's only Son, will indeed be sacrificed, will indeed rise again, the victor over sin and death. Abraham is told that this is because he did not withhold his son. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are inheritors of God's promise. Amen.